Morning, our devotion comes from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 10. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he said, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. Are there any announcements before we go to class? If not, let's go to Sunday school.
I want to thank Brother Bert and Brother Jimmy for filling in for me while I've been out, and I appreciate that. It means a lot to have somebody that you can call up and ask to take your place, and I appreciate that from them. The title of our lesson today is Church Rules, Private and Public. And our lesson text picks up where the devotional background left off, and that's in the fourth chapter of Ephesians, and it'll be verses 11 through 19. And I'll read that this time. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up unto him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. This I say, therefore, in testifying the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over into lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. When I read this and also our devotional background study, I don't see where that the title Church Rules Private and Public came from, because it didn't really seem to match up to me. But I studied it, and I'm going to try to join that thought with what I just read here. Now, the first thing we notice in the 11th verse here is it says that he gave some apostles and some prophets, some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. That is, we all have a job to do now. I just thanked Bert and Jimmy for standing in for me while I was out working, and I do appreciate that. I have a job here to try to study this Bible and try to bring things forth to y'all. To not that there's anything new that I'm going to bring forth, but that we all might grow and learn from the study of the Bible. Now, y'all also have a duty as well, and I hope you realize that it's your duty to study the Bible throughout the week also, to be prepared for this Sunday school. But nevertheless, we all have a job in the Lord's church, whether it be to teach or to sing or to testify. And there was someone that stood up and said a few weeks ago about how they admired people that could testify. Some people were really good at that, and I agree with that. I don't feel like I'm that good at it. Sometimes, you know, the Lord leads me to stand up and thank Him for saving my soul, and I am thankful for that because I know that He did that. And I don't think I can ever say that enough. So whether my primary job is to take care of the recordings up there and put it on the website, or to stand up here and try to teach, and I fail at that many times, I feel, whatever it is, there is a place, there is a job for me, and there is one for you as well. We need to be aware of that. We need to be thinking about that and doing the best that we can not to take it lightly. You know, I'll be the first to say that I take my job lightly many times, and I don't put into it as much as I should. And that's not okay, and I'm going to try to cover that here in just a few more minutes. Because he says in the 12th verse, "For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ," that is, these jobs that we have help us to grow. They help us to become complete Christians, whole Christians. Not that we'll ever get all the way, but you know, when we start off, when we're first saved, I was on up in years. I was in my 30s when I was saved. Some of y'all were saved when you were very young, and there's all different ages. But when we're first saved, we really don't know anything about the Bible. We may have a mental knowledge. We may know that the first verse is, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." Most anybody that goes to church very much at all knows that verse. But we don't have a spiritual understanding. And that's what he's talking about here, for the perfecting of the saints, that we might spiritually grow and come together in unity and in harmony as a body, as a church body, to get the word out, to get the word out about the Lord and how that He saves lost sinners. And that's what he's talking about here, growing as a church, growing as individuals and as a church. For the purpose of working the ministry, for the purpose of getting the word out about the Lord, about salvation, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. Not perfect as in this fleshly body being sin-free, but perfect as in complete and whole and able to join ourselves with each other and put forth an effort and to see that effort bear fruit. Unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Okay, I had to study those words for quite a bit, and I don't know if I really got this right or not, but I believe what he says is that when we come together as God's children, as saved individuals, as a church, when we come together and we do our jobs and study and pray, that we can become more Christ-like. We can live our lives more in the manner that Christ would have us to live, and in the manner that He lived, that is, with love for one another, with a heartfelt desire to see the lost saved. And that's what we need. We need to be troubled in our hearts for the ones that are dying and going off into hell, because those are our friends, our neighbors, our co-workers, and our family, our close family in many cases. So, these three verses here have painted a picture of a church, that is, a group of saved individuals, each with a job, coming together, working together, striving, doing their job, wanting to do their job, and growing to be more Christ-like. And then he goes on to say that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro. Now that's what we were when we were saved. No matter how old we were children. Tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. And that's what happens when people are saved and they don't come to church. When they don't grow any, they don't go any further forward, they're tossed to and fro. They're taken up by things of the world. And I think if we stop and think, we can look around and we can see people like that. I can look, I don't have to look far at all to see that, people tossed about, carried away with the world by every wind of doctrine. There's all kinds of doctrine out there. There's everything that you can imagine that people get carried away with. Sleight of men, cunning craftiness. There is no more craftiness than what Satan has. And he is out there influencing men and leading them astray that they might lead others astray, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. That's pretty self-explanatory right there. They're out there lying in wait to deceive people that are lost and to draw people away that are saved. And it's, you know, don't think for a moment that we as God's children can't be drawn away, not for the lost for salvation, but we can be drawn away to lose the influence that we have just as Lot was. We can lose the joy of our salvation. We can lose everything but our salvation. And Satan, he can't get our salvation, and he knows that. But he's out there doing everything that he can to try to take everything else away from us that we won't be able to serve, or that we won't be willing to serve God. But we'll go back to these group of individuals that are doing their jobs, whatever that job might be, and working together. And he says, "But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth." Every joint, every person doing their part, knit together to form a church, to get out there and do the work of the Lord. "According to the effectual working in the measure of every part," that is, we all accomplish something as a team and as individuals when we serve the Lord in truth and in spirit, "making increase of the body into the edifying of itself in love." That is, our church will grow, and it will grow in the right manner by the addition and the baptism of saved individuals. Now, backing up just a little bit here, I talked about the jobs that we all have, and I want to talk just a second here about what happens when we don't do our job, when we don't take those jobs seriously. And I'm guilty of that many times. I've done that. We suffer for that personally. We suffer in our lives. We bring hardship in our lives. We bring trouble in our lives. But we bring trouble and hardship in other people's lives also. When I'm not here, for whatever reason, whether it's through my own choice or not, Bert has to teach. Bert has to stand up here. Now, you know, I stood up for Bert before when he had it. It's not a great hardship. It's not something that it's like, you know, really dragging me down to fill in when he has to go out. But it is something that has to be done. Somebody has to step up and take your place. Now, you can go on a little further and, well, okay, what if you just stop coming altogether? That's quite a hardship there. I mean, it grows and it becomes more and more difficult for the members to carry on without that person. And, you know, okay, a good strong church where everybody's working together, one person drops out, the rest of the group picks up and takes over and carries on. It's a hardship, just divided out, okay, so it's maybe not quite so great. But we're not that many people. When one or two of us drop out, it's a hardship on everybody. When we don't just, and I don't mean drop out as in stop coming, although that's the ultimate in dropping out. But drop out as in just not doing our part, just not praying the way that we ought to. You know, I underestimate the prayer, the power of prayer. And Cindy just thanked us all for her brother, and I believe that was because of our prayers. You know, I can't say it was because of my prayers. I try to pray. I try to pray about everything that comes up, but I forget there's a lot of things that needs to be prayed about, and I don't always remember. But when I drop the ball, when I don't do what the Lord had me to do, what my job is, these people suffer. Okay? The people but you know, if I let Bert down and he has to do a little bit of extra work, he's okay. He's got the Lord to turn to. He's got his salvation. He's okay. He might grumble at me and he might get upset, but his core is all right. But what about the people who aren't okay? What about the people that get let down when I don't do my job that are not saved, the lost people, because they're the ones that's really going to suffer. They're the ones that's going to pay a price that we can't even imagine. So this is serious, serious things that we're talking about. Doing our jobs, standing up for the Lord, doing what we ought to do in our church. So, now going over to the 17th verse here. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. We are a separate people. We are a peculiar people. We shouldn't be getting confused and being like the rest of the world. Now that's easy to do. It's easy to blend in, and it's easy to want the things that they have, to do the things that everybody else does. You want to fit in. You want people to like you. You don't want people to think you're weird. If they get to know us really well, and we're doing what we ought to be doing, we're going to appear different. We will. And I don't like that. I'll be honest with you. I don't want people thinking that I'm different. I don't. I don't want to be strange. I don't want to be odd. But I am. And whether I admit it or show it or not, I am. And I don't mean that in a joking manner. I'm different from probably 99% of the world, and so are you. You're different because you've been saved. You have a home in glory. You have somebody to turn to. It talks here about the other Gentiles, the way they walk. Now, you can apply that to the things that are being done wrong in the world, the drunkenness and the immorality and the lying and the stealing and stuff. You could apply that. We certainly ought to not be doing that. But they walk in the vanity of their minds because they don't have it in their heart. They don't understand. They don't have any clue. They don't know. And I can relate to that because I can remember once I was saved, knowing that I thought differently, I felt differently, my heart was changed. I knew that, and I understood how blind I had been in the past. I understood then how I didn't understand anything before, and I couldn't have understood it, couldn't even have imagined it. But that's the way that they're walking, the people that are lost. And then many of them are doing the best they can. They're trying, they're living a good life. There are people that are living probably a more moral life than I do sometimes. But they don't. That's coming from their mind. Their mind is telling them to do things and to try to work and to do good that they might be taken into heaven. They don't understand at all that their heart has to be fixed. They don't get it, and they can't get it, because if we don't do what we're supposed to do, if we don't out there standing out, appearing to them to be different so that they'll go, you know, I'm working everything. I'm doing the best I can. And Terry over there, he's different. There's something about him. I don't know. He's not living better than me, you know, but he's got something. He's got a peace. He's got a calm. When he's around me, I can feel a spirit. That's the way it should be. That's what it's talking about here, I believe. Because they need to understand that their understanding is darkened, that they are alienated from God, because they are. And when they can sense that God's in our presence, because we're doing what we ought to be doing and we're close to God and His Spirit is about us, they're going to know that there's a presence about us that's not about them. Now, I haven't even gotten to the part about the church rules here. I'm going to try to get to that here. But you know, people's minds will say that things are okay. Our minds many times will tell us that things are okay. But what are our hearts saying? What is the Lord letting us know in their heart? You know, there might be something come up that from a moral standpoint is okay, but if the Lord's directing us to take a different road, to go a different path, then that the other road is not okay. It's not for us to decide with our mind, but rather for the Lord to lead us in our heart. Okay, I want to read here, this is the third paragraph of the church covenant. And he says here, this is under the introduction what I'm reading, "We also engage to maintain family and secret devotions to religiously educate our children, to seek the salvation of our kindred and acquaintances, to walk circumspectly in the world, to be just in our dealings, faithful in our engagement, and exemplary in our deportment, to avoid all tattling, backbiting, and excessive anger, to abstain from the sale of and use of intoxicating drinks as a beverage, to be zealous in our efforts to advance the kingdom of our Savior." Now, we've been talking about jobs in the church, our position in the church. And if you don't have any other position in the church at all, you have what was just listed here, and that's a lot. Let's go back and read it again. Ask yourself. I've asked myself, and I failed on most of all of this in some degree. Engage to maintain family and secret devotions. Well, to read the Bible, to talk to each other about what we believe, to talk to each other about what the Bible says. I failed in that a lot. To religiously educate our children. Okay, that would go back to the secret devotions and the family part, as well as bringing them to church. So I'd give myself maybe a 50-60% on that one, because I tried to bring my children to church. To seek the salvation of our kindred and acquaintances. Okay, some, but again, pretty big failure on many times. To walk circumspectly in the world, okay, to walk and do what we ought to be doing. To just be a Christian, to be Christ-like in the world. To be just in our dealings. I try to do that. I try not to cheat people. I think I do fairly well in that. Although I wouldn't say 100%. Faithful in our engagements. Exemplary in our deportment. The way we carry ourselves, the way we talk, things we talk about. To avoid all tattling, backbiting, and excessive anger. Again, I try, and I'm not 100% successful in those. To abstain from the sale of and use of intoxicating drinks as a beverage. Okay, I do okay with that. I have been drinking in the past, but it was once I got saved, I haven't drank any. So I'm going to give myself a thumbs up on that one. Okay, but now that's sad. Because those other things are important. They really are very important. To be zealous in our efforts to advance the kingdom of our Savior. And I didn't do good on that one either. So, those are jobs that we as Christians have. And speaking for myself, I'm not that good of an employee. I've tried, but I've probably been a better employer to the people that I work for a paycheck. I've probably been better then than I have the Lord, and they haven't done anything. Or the Lord's done for me. So, these are the things that we agreed to when we joined this church. I've taken them lightly. I didn't even really, to be honest with you, when I joined this church, I didn't think a whole lot about it. I read the church covenant, I believe, and thought about it a little bit, and didn't really carry it a whole great distance, maybe to the door, I'm not sure. But those are things that we need to try to study upon, to get back to. And because we have a lot here, we also have the other job. But generally, when we think about our job in the church, I think about Bert as a song leader and as a Sunday school teacher, and myself as a Sunday school teacher, and Brother Armour as a pastor and deacons and that we have and things like that. I think about those jobs. But the truth is, that's only the beginning. That's really, to be honest with you, that's the easy part. The hard part is the other 6 days of the week when we all be living this church covenant. It really is. Because that's the real job right there. Studying for a little bit of time to stand up here and talk to y'all isn't that difficult of a job. I gripe about it to myself sometimes, I do, but I guess that's human nature, I'm going to end with this one thought right here, and it came to me while I was studying. In the Old Testament, the title is here, Church Rules. Rule and a law is kind of similar. You know, their codes to live by, ways to govern people. And in the Old Testament, the law pointed towards the coming of Christ. That it was all about Christ, how that the life that he would live and the sacrifice he would make. That's what the law did. And it was a schoolmaster to those people that they might learn and grow. Well, these rules that we have today, this church covenant that we have, is something to guide us, to lead us. And it's so that we might show Jesus Christ having come, so that we might show Jesus Christ to the world, that they might see him through us, through our lives, and why we believe the things that we do, why we live the way that we live, how we can control our anger when people do us wrong, how we can be forgiving. Those things ought to be showing toward Jesus Christ, just as the law did. So that's my Sunday school lesson for today. And I appreciate y'all coming, being here. I hope you got something out of it. I'll be honest with you, I probably get more out of these lessons than y'all do. I do get something out of teaching them sometimes when I put forth an effort. Thank y'all for being here. Any questions?
I got one statement. Patronizing that is Jesus Christ. He is our example. I don't think we should try. We ain't gonna never make the great people.
Well, the Sunday school writer pointed out, you know, we're still sinners. We're sinners saved by grace. That's not what he says, but we are. But there's nothing there that we can't follow. There's nothing there that's impossible. You know, it might be difficult at times. We do. I fail, but there's no reason for me to fail. There's nothing there that I couldn't do if I really, really put forth the effort. But yes, I do agree with what you're saying. Jesus is the example we all strive to be like. If there's no other thoughts on anybody's heart or mind.
I appreciate your lesson. I appreciate your honesty. Your effort this morning. I appreciate the love that I see that you have for the Lord. The love that you have for this church. I just want you to know I appreciate you.
Amen. Thank you. I appreciate that. Let's remember the prayer requests have been made. You know, it's easy to get discouraged and to think we're not doing anything, but when you hear about, you know, people coming through surgery okay, when you hear about people making it through their hard times that they're going through and the Lord's helping them, I believe the Lord's hearing the prayer requests that we make. I do believe that. And, you know, Satan's out there trying to discourage us, and he's out there at every turn to discourage us and to keep us from praying. That's what he wants. Satan knows. He knows how much good we can do when we pray, and he knows how much damage he can do when we don't pray. So just don't let him get the upper hand. There's nothing else. Ask Brother Sonny if he can dismiss us.